Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in prayer, Lord. We thank you. We are humbled by your word, Lord. We are thankful for your word. And Father, we would ask that as we hear from Psalms 23, Lord, the only Psalms that we've hit in the series that's well known, Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word, Lord, that we would be able to set aside all the other stuff in our lives, and our minds would be clear to receive what you would have us receive. Lord, you will speak to us differently, but you will share with us through your word what we need to hear. Lord, we pray that we would be different because of the truth of your word being applied to our lives. Lord, we ask that we wouldn't just be merely hearers of the word, but we would become doers of the word more and more and more as our journey with you continues. Father, thank you for each one here, Lord. Thank you for those who can't be here, Lord. We ask for a blessing upon them right now. And Lord, for all the other churches that are teaching your word, Lord, in our community, in our neighborhood, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon them. Thank you for what you're doing in this community. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're hitting Psalms 23. And guys, this is the psalm that is probably best known. It's a very well-known psalm, and so I figured, you know what, we can't, I know I've done a lot of psalms that you guys aren't familiar with, a few obscure ones, but I wanted to end with one that we're all familiar with, but just go a little bit deeper into it. And so one of the things that we have to be prepared for is there are things in our lives that are challenging, that are difficult, that we will go through, that's going to cause us to either fear or be discouraged, to, in a sense, step back and cave and not know how to step forward into what God has called us and how he's called us to live and go through the challenges that we have to go through. And so I want to spend a little time here looking at Psalm 23 that really prepares us and shows us in that preparation about what an amazing God we have and how he relates to us in different ways. And David here, who's the writer of this psalm, he uses five separate metaphors, five separate ways to describe God's care for us, of how he relates to us. So let's start out in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. See, the first picture that we're given here is that God is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. He is this beautiful shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for food. I shall not want for the things that I need. More than just food. And it's not just talking the physical, it's talking the spiritual, relational, emotional. I shall not want. In Christ, those things that we have, those needs emotionally that we have that need to be met, they get met only in Christ. And we can try and meet them in a lot of different ways, can't we? We can try a lot of different ways to try and have our passions and our hearts full in the things of this world, and it will always fail. But in Christ, he provides. He makes us lie down in green pastures. The green pastures here, pastures of tender grass. And so it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now this is not in respect to food. He makes me lie down in green pastures. But it says, places of cool and refreshing rest. So he makes me lie down in green, cool, resting places. See, the greatness of one of the great things about God is he's involved in all of our life. All that is about us, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And he wants our well-being in all these areas. And so he leads us into cool places of rest. And then it says, he leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. The still waters are literally waters of stillness, gently moving waters that are not rapid and out of control. And they're not these pools that get stagnant. But beside these still, clear, refreshing waters of peace and calm, not a wild river out of control, not stagnant. And he renews their strength. He renews, he restores our soul. How important is it to have our souls restored? Anybody here having a challenging week, month, year? Yeah? There's some real challenges, aren't there? Some of you guys are going through a time of planning, a time of new things happening, of new challenges coming along. And just, what do they say? The stress level, anytime you have anything new, stress builds. If it's good, if it's bad, it doesn't matter. The emotional weight of new things, there's a stress there. How about as things come that you didn't prepare and plan for at all? You had no idea what's coming. You had no way to prep for it. And it's just hit you out of left field. And the questions start coming in. God, from some of the past messages that we've been going through, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those ideas that, where are you, God? Where are you during this time? But it says here that he renews our strength. That's a beautiful thing. He restores our soul. Man, to have that restored, to be whole again. Have you ever gotten to the end of, man, one of the things I did in college was crew. And the thing I loved about crew is you'd be going and you're in a boat. And my first time in a boat, I was going. And I came in partway through the season. So I was coming in with guys who'd been rowing for a long time. And so I kept messing up and be knocked in the guy behind me. But the whole idea with crew is that, man, you hit the wall and then you get more strength. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of renewing strength. I love the idea of God meeting us right where we're totally broken and done. And then just like in crew, when you hit that wall, all of a sudden you get the more energy. It comes from the Lord. He renews our strength. He gives us a new life, a new passion, a new pleasure in him. And it's a good, good thing. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this because here we're given the picture of he's a guide. He's a guide leading the travelers through these paths that are challenging. And what does a good guide do? He knows where to go, doesn't he? He knows where to go. He knows where he's at, where we're going. Nothing is a surprise to him. Guess what? Everything in the future is a surprise to us. Everything coming up is going to be a little bit different than what we prepared for, right? There's a lot of things that we can prepare for, but nothing's ever exactly what we expect. And I got to tell you, most of the time that's good. But sometimes it's really challenging. He guides them along the right paths. Guys, let me ask you this question. Why do you think God allows us to go through valleys? I want to hear from you. So we come to that place of dependence, because that place of dependence is where we grow, right? It's where we learn perseverance, and it pretty soon turns to something else, and then, man, and we grow in our walk with him. Say that again. Thank you. It reveals a pure faith. It reveals what's really in our hearts, doesn't it? That faith, when we come to that place of dependence, we're saying, okay, I'm trusting God more than I trust me here. I don't get what's happening right now. I don't understand it. But I'm going to trust God. That's faith, is where we trust Him. And guys, I promise you this. I've been doing it for a lot of years, and many of you have been doing it for a lot longer than I have, in our faith walk, in our journey. Every single time, it's a challenge to trust Him. Now, sometimes it's a little bit because we're doing well in our walk, and it's something that we can easily trust Him in. You want to know some of the things I struggle with my children? When something happens with my children, I tend to just by instinct grab onto the reins where I don't belong. I try and take the wheel out of God's hands and I try and steer it towards where I want it to go because I love them so much and I want what's best for them. And think about that. Think about if you're driving in a car and somebody is in the back seat and all of a sudden they jump into the front seat and grab the wheel and start going a different direction. You'd be a little annoyed maybe, right? Thank God we have a God who is long-suffering with us. But He does say, hey, I've got the wheel. Trust me. I've given you my word. You can trust the principles that you know about me. You can trust who I am, that I want what's best for you. Now, it may not look like that at the moment. You ever been in the midst of the situation where you're like, really? Where is God in this process? Where is God right now? Right here, where is He? Where the rubber meets the road of real life, I don't feel Him. I don't feel His presence. And then later on, you look back and you're like, oh yeah, He was there. Oh. But every time, and in the big things, it's really a challenge. Are we going to trust Him at the beginning of it? He guides us along the right paths, and He comforts and protects us. And we can trust that. Guys, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Israel, on the road to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, there's a canyon, and the canyon there is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And it's a very, very thin valley at one point, and it goes up almost 800 feet. And so there's one point in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, the same place that David would walk through many times. And he had gone through this valley. And when you're in the valley, it's really thin and it's really high, and the only time you can see the sun is when it's directly above. And so otherwise, what is? It's dark and cold and a little scary. I don't know if you've ever been in a valley. One of the things that amazed me as I was thinking about this, has anybody here ever been to New York? Oh my goodness. The thing that blew me away about New York was you would go down street after street. Here we have a city like Seattle, and we've got a few buildings that are kind of tall. You go to New York, and you're walking down the street, and it seemed like everywhere I went, I would look up, and I'm used to looking up like this. I'd have to do this, and you just, and as soon as you look at both sides, it goes up forever, and you go around the corner, and it's still these massive buildings that go up. And I just remember feeling like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. And it makes it feel even more narrow on the roads that you're on. And you're just looking up at all that's around and, whew. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David knows what it's like to walk through that. And he uses this picture to share what happens with us emotionally, right? Even though I walk through these valleys of life. Where are you at right now on the journey? Are you in a valley? Are you in a valley? Are you on a mountaintop? Man, this is good. Guess what? The valley's coming. I'm sorry. I wish I could say, you know what? If you're on the mountaintop, guess what? You get to stay on the mountaintop the rest of the journey. It's all peaches and cream and everything's wonderful. Everything's nice and, you know, bunny rabbits. Trying to think of pictures of nice things. I don't know why bunny rabbits come to my mind, but they just do, okay? You got too deep a look into your pastor's mind and heart right there. Julie and I were going for a walk yesterday, and as we were walking the dog, this bunny rabbit came up, and our fierce dog was scared of the bunny. Something's wrong with that picture. That's a whole nother story. All right. But man, we have this desire for everything to be just right. And life is hard and it's challenging. And those times come where we're in the valley and you can't get your bearings very well when you're in the valley, right? It's hard to see the direction it's overwhelming and it just narrows in. And during those times in the valley, sometimes it gets so tight that man, you just feel the stress and you're discouraged. But he leads us through. Guys, we have a God who leads us through those times. It's not that he's going to take those times away. He walks with us through them. We're not alone. I can't tell you how great it is. Have you ever been walking home at night and you're alone? Especially if you've just watched a scary movie or something, all of a sudden, every sound you notice, you wouldn't have noticed it if you hadn't watched the silly movie, but now you're noticing because your mind is just going. Man, to be alone amplifies that, doesn't it? To be alone, you just feel like, oh boy, what's behind that tree? Yeah. But man, to not be alone, to know that as we're going on this journey, even when we're so aware of the valley that we're in, we realize I'm not alone in this process. Guys, in marriage, when it gets tough, you're not alone. Singles, when you're really lonely and discouraged and you feel that you're not alone, you're not alone. That's a beautiful thing. David, he traveled through this area many times. And he gives us this beautiful picture of what it means to go through, not to get stuck in the valley. And guys, this is another thing I want. Even though I walk through the valley, what's he doing? He's walking through the valley. Guys, we don't want to live in the valley. We don't, where it gets narrow there's that feeling. Many people have gotten stuck in the valleys of life. Have you ever met that person who something happened to them or something that they did or both 30 years ago and they're still living and they speak of it as if it was today? And there's been no healing. It's not, look how God rescued me from the valley. It's not talking about what God has done of bringing me out of the valley. But it's somebody talking about what happened 20, 30 years ago. And it's the present tense. And they're still stuck in the valley. Guys, if you're in the valley right now and you've been there for a long time, it's time to go through the valley. We are called to be free in Christ, not stuck in the worst moments of our lives, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So I want to encourage you, if you've been stuck, even in a part of your life, if there's a part of your life that you can't think about that without being undone by it, guess what? We all have scars. We all have scars. And praise God that we don't walk around with open wounds that fester and get worse and just are open no matter where we go. Praise God that we can look at the scars of our lives and say, this is where God was faithful to me. I was broken here. I was damaged. I was an open, festering wound. I was stuck in the valley, and God closed and healed me, and he brought me through. And now it's not as though it didn't happen. It did happen. But I look at the scar and I say, look how God was faithful. This doesn't remind me or is in the open wound that says I'm still a mess. It's the scar that says God was faithful to bring me through that valley. Praise God for the scars that we have, because they show the glory of God. They show the glory of God. But if emotionally, relationally, spiritually, if you're still in that open wound, God wants you to be healed. Because how can you be a Christian and still be experiencing the open wound? You've been living as though the lie is true. You've been living as though the lie from the enemy, which is what was done to you, you know what? That's an evil person that did it. No, it's a person who did evil. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not the evil person. We've got to get out of this mindset. I realize even politically now, we think of others who think differently as us as they are evil. They're not evil, guys. People who think differently than me politically, they're not evil. They want what's good for people. They just have a different way of going about it. And so now we're being taught to think of anyone who thinks differently than us, that we're to put a label on them as they are evil. No, they're not evil. Maybe their ideas are wrong. You know what? I've had a number of times where my ideas have been wrong. So I need to move forward in humility. But man, as if we don't see the people as evil, but what they did to us as evil. Now, some of you have gone through horrific situations. That's evil. That's evil. But if you label the person who did it as evil and they are therefore unforgivable, then you don't forgive them. If somebody is they're not, guess what? None of us are deserving of forgiveness. Guys, hear this part. None of us deserve forgiveness. Not one. But if I keep the person who hurt me as evil and I keep away from it and I keep the open wound festering, now everything from the past is now a part of my present and my future. And I'm stuck in the valley. And I'm not free in Christ. And so even as believers, we can live as though the lie. But in Christ, I can come to a place where this person does not deserve to be forgiven. But while I was still God's enemy, Christ forgave me. Therefore, I forgive. How many times? A bunch. No, more than a bunch. Well, they're not deserving. Well, we're called to forgive as Christ forgave us, right? Christ forgave us while we were still enemies of God. What happens when I forgive somebody who doesn't deserve to be get forgiven? Guess what? I am freed emotionally, relationally, from the pain of holding them in unforgiveness. I'm no longer stuck in that worst moment of my life. Now God restores my soul. And something happens. The evil that was done to me is still evil. But now it's not I hate that person. It's I hate what they've done to me. And now I can even love and forgive my enemy. Not because they deserve it, because when I do it, now I'm free from the hold that they had on me. And now I'm free to what? Not repeat the sin upon someone else. Because guys, something happens in our sin. When we are sinned against and we hold, guys, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to just be undone and broken by somebody. And it absolutely, it affects every aspect of your life. And I know what it's like to just be bound by that anger, that hate, and that bitterness. One day I'm going to make them pay. And I can't tell you what it was like for me to be free from that. To come to that place where what they did no longer controlled me. But now I'm free in Christ. Guys, some of you are held by people who are dead. And you're bound but from the grave. Because there's that, what they did. And I'm never going to forgive. Guess what? That bounds you, not hurts them. So, guys, I realize this is an unbelievably painful topic, but there is freedom from that pain. There is joy. There's a way for it to be a scar and not a festering wound. And God wants to lead us through the valley. We don't need to live in fear of what is my life going to be like if I get away from this hate and this pain and this anger. That's my identity. That's what I know. That's who I am. You're asking me to change my very... Yes, in Christ. Praise God, we don't have to live in that hell on earth anymore. This is not a call to be a victim. No one calls you to be a victim. It's to stop being a victim. It's to be free in Christ. And even if the person is dead and gone, we can be a victim to the leftover hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. Guys, let's move through the valley of the shadow of death. It's good on the other. When you come out into the clearing and you see the sun again and you feel the... Well, it was yesterday. I came out of a coffee shop and as I came out of the coffee shop, the sun hit me and I just instinctively went, oh. And I just, it was like, ah, and you know, it's just that, oh, and I just felt rejuvenated. Man, you could feel the vitamin D just flowing through. I think people looked at me a little different, weird, because I just walked out and I went, oh, truly aha moment. Oh, yeah, let's continue on. One last thing about even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible teaches us that God is God, not just on the mountaintops, but he's even God in the valley. A few more things we need to remember about the valley. First one, guys, valleys should be expected. We should expect the valleys to come. We're not going to always be on the mountaintop. Deuteronomy 11:11 says, "The land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys." Man, a land of hills and valleys. Not only are valleys to be expected, we can't avoid them, we can count on them. Also, everybody goes through valleys. Not one of us will have only mountaintop experiences. I wish we had it. I wish there was a way to give it to you guys. I know that one day we'll have it in Christ. For eternity. But while we're still in the flesh, no. It's not going to happen. Everybody goes through valleys. They're impartial. They just happen. We face them. Bad things happen to good people. We live in a broken world, and with that broken world, people do bad things. We are given the ability to choose right from wrong, Christ or no Christ. And when I make a decision, that decision not only affects me, it affects the people around me. And sometimes that's a blessing and sometimes it's not. Valleys are to be expected. Everybody goes through valleys. Also, valleys are very unpredictable. You may be on a mountaintop and the footing is good, and all of a sudden you slip and you fall down and you look up and you're in a valley. They're unpredictable. You can't plan them. You can't say, okay, guys, things are going really well right now, but guess what? I'm going to hit a valley in about no, that doesn't work for me. A week, 2 weeks, three. No, I'll go through a valley in a month because I've got a really busy month this month. So after everything gets figured out, then I'm going to go in the valley. Doesn't work like that in real life, does it? Wouldn't it be great if you could plan your valleys? Oh, I'm swamped here. I can't do a valley. Yeah, not going to work. Not going to work. Man. Typically, they catch us off guard, don't they? They hit, and we're walking, everything's good, and we get hit from the side, from the back, and we don't always see when or how they're coming. We don't always see who they're coming from. And sometimes when it's people who are closer to us that cause those times of valleys to start, man, those can wipe us out. When the person that we trust most disappoints us, guess what? I'm your pastor. I'm going to disappoint you at times. I wish I wouldn't. I wish I could be the perfect pastor. There's going to be times where I do the wrong thing. I say the wrong thing. Guys, that can define our relationship, or you can forgive me. Please forgive me. I need a lot of forgiveness. But man, when we forgive, now we're back in right relationship. And let's be the kind of people that are easy to forgive. We can't bring that out of somebody else, but we can be that for ourselves to somebody else. So when we blow it, let's own it, and let's ask for forgiveness. And then part of that is, man, I tell you, when somebody does the wrong thing with me for the right reason, it's really easy to forgive them. When they're trying to do a good thing and they blow it and it backfires, that's easy to forgive because their heart was for the right thing. You know, it's really hard to forgive when somebody does the wrong thing for the wrong reason. Guess what? We're all guilty of that. There's times where we're all selfish, where we're all self-focused, at the end of our rope, had a hard month. That person comes into our lives right at the wrong moment, and they take our wrath that's meant for somebody else, or maybe even meant for them, but finally we give it to them, but we overgive it to them. Where are you on the journey right now? Where on the journey are you right now? Have you been in the valley for forever? Get out. Have you just entered the valley? Man. Don't get overwhelmed looking around, seeing the darkness, being overwhelmed by all the specifics of the valley. Are you on the mountaintop? I want to say this. It says here, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just one thing to say about that. These are symbols of a shepherd's office, of what he does. And by them, this shepherd guides his sheep. Your rod and your staff, they guide me. So I can't change the valleys or say when the valleys are going to happen, but I can prepare my heart to be ready for when valleys happen. As I'm learning to trust God's, his rod and his staff, and I go to his word, and I say, you know what? This is what defines right and wrong in my life. This is where I go to get my bearings of what I should do in this situation. Something happened, pastor, at work, and I don't know what to do. Guess what? God's word, the principles, the truth of God's word shows the response, not the specific response with that person, but the heart and mind response. And from there, in prayer, as you take that truth of God's word and you come to God in prayer, say, God, I don't know. He goes, I'm with you, remember? And I will guide you with my rod and staff, and I'm going to comfort you. We'll get through this together. We've got this. I've got this for you. Psalm 23:5a, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, a host and his guests. He cares for his people like a host cares for his guests. Have you ever been invited to a dinner and it was by somebody who could really cook? I mean, really cook. And, oh man, and they also had the gift of hospitality. That was something with my mother. She was an amazing gourmet cook and she had the gift of hospitality. People loved coming over to our house. I was so blessed growing up and having that. People love to come over. A host cares for their guests in the presence of mine enemies. As sometimes we're sitting at the table with some interesting folks, aren't we? But they're not our enemy. The enemies of God, the spiritual forces, the powers of darkness, that's our enemy. But if I have the wrong vision of what somebody does is who they are, then I make that person my enemy. But what you've done at your worst is not the definition of who you are. And so we need to have that same forgiveness for others. Not to excuse it, but to forgive it. God takes care of it. God, pray for God to make them, because guys, you've heard me say it before, hurt people hurt people. And so people who are wounded, they wound others. It's what we do. When we're wounded and not whole in Christ, we wound others. It's a protection response. It's a way to protect ourselves. And then you anoint my head with oil, the physician and the patient. He anoints the head with oil. Oil, the anointing, the symbol of emotional gladness is what oil represents. That emotional joy. He anoints, he replaces the brokenhearted with the joyful. Man, to be anointed, he makes us whole again in our minds, the healing of the mind. End of verse 5, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. It's the prophet, and we are the ones who are promised. And so we go to the one of the word, the giver of the word. My cup overflows. The cup represents abundance. And the blessings that we have through his word are abundant. The abundant, unending, unfailing love that is shown every believer through the promises found in the Word of God. We see this in this psalm, a beautiful picture of a shepherd, a guide, a host, a physician, a prophet. It's a beautiful picture, guys. We have a great God who loves us and walks with us through the valleys. Let's go with him through the valleys. Let's not get stuck in the valleys. Let's be free in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. Lord, I pray for each person here, Lord, that if anyone's stuck in a valley right now, Lord, I pray that they would come to you. They would have their soul restored, their mind healed. The lie would be replaced with the truth. Lord, they would see you walk with them through the valley into the light. Lord, we don't want to get stuck in the valley of the shadow of death. We don't want to live in the shadows anymore. We want to live in your light and your truth. Show us how to do that. Thank you that your word does show us how, because it shows us who you are. And we come to a new identity in you. The old is gone, the new has come. The old was the broken man or woman. The new is the whole in Christ Jesus, in your truth and in your love. Lord, forgive us for where we go back to the old ways of thinking and living. Thank you, Lord, that you have unbelievable forgiveness for your children. Thank you that you don't disown us when we blow it. Father, when you bring us into the family through faith, we have eternal life in you. And our sin is as far away from us as the east is from the west. We are grateful. Make us a blessing to many others this week in little ways, everyday ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.